Father Abbot Leonard, OSB.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Amen. We do not make apology for not having had the solemn ceremonies that are normally conducted on such days as today or yesterday or tomorrow. But we do the best we do the best we can until Almighty God sees fit to send us the ones that will help us perform these ceremonies as they should be performed, of course, and we can only give them what he has given to us. We tried to force the issue a couple of years ago, but I'm not totally sure that we pleased God in so doing. So we do the best we can. The flag, as you noticed, is flying at half-mast. Here some time ago, elsewhere, I don't know where, it doesn't matter, someone saw the flag flying someplace at half-mast. And they ask, did somebody die today? It's a tragedy. It's a real tragedy that there are so few people left who can go through and comprehend what actually took place today. We are not simply reliving a ceremony. We are not simply calling to mind an historical fact. We are not celebrating the death, actually, of anybody, for that matter. We're living a period of time in which we ourselves are seriously involved. When our blessed Lord was born, he put the key in the door. At 3 o'clock today, the key was turned and the door was opened. The gate was unlocked, and passage through that gate was once again established. To the believer of this, no argument is necessary. But to him who does not believe this, or understands this, or comprehends this, or even wants to understand or comprehend or believe this, no argument is possible. Don't bother. Our blessed Lord, as you recall, on two occasions, when he spoke to the people concerning the Blessed Eucharist, actually, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you know the story. On two occasions, the people left him. They walked away. And you also recall the story that on those two occasions, and only on those two occasions, our blessed Lord did not say or ask or plead or suggest that they should remain and give him an opportunity to explain the matter. On those two occasions, when they turned around to leave, though he didn't say it in so many words, but his actions indicated it. He simply said in his actions, "Go away." What greater curse could be placed on humankind than for the Savior, the Redeemer of humankind, to tell humankind, "Go away"? But humankind has got a responsibility. Humankind has to understand that humankind has to make effort to comprehend, and this requires serious work to comprehend, to understand, to accept, to believe. You see, what's happening with too many of us, like on today, that we get lost in the symbols of today. We get lost in the symbols, the nails, the wood, the crown of thorns, the cross, the giant stone that's rolled in front of the tomb. We get lost in those symbols, and we don't get past the stone of the tomb to see what actually is in the tomb. We always remain outside, never knowing exactly what took place, never really knowing exactly what it's all about. And so today, when we adore in a manner of speaking only, and we do give the cross, today we're very fortunate to have two reliable fragments of the true cross. There are plenty of unreliable fragments, but I think it would be safe to say that the two that we have are reliable, that they are actually pieces of the true cross. You will also notice that today we genuflect to the crucifix now that it has been uncovered. We won't do that after today, but today we do genuflect to the crucifix. That's the best we've got today. And so we give the crucifix this kind of honor. But we have to go beyond these symbols. And today we have, unfortunately, those of us, the groupings of us, who have lost everything else, are taking these symbols, and we are attaching ourselves to these symbols, and we are placing these symbols and using these symbols as though they had some kind of magical power. If we give these symbols, the nails, the nail of the wood, or the piece of the wood, or whatever, if we give these symbols due honor and respect, then perhaps, if we say, "Kiss the wood of the cross," then we will be given special this or special that. That no effort is required on our part. The kiss on the piece of cross that we've got is bound to do this or that or the other for us. We have to do nothing but just kiss. We have to do nothing but just simply believe. And all else will fall in place. Of course we have to believe. But if you remember, once upon a time, one of our great epistles, the Epistle of St. James, was removed from our Bible simply because St. James said, it is not enough only to believe. You have to do something more than just believe. Faith without good works is dead. But we feel that if we believe, we don't have to bother about anything else. All will be taken care of. We will be automatically saved. We will be the elect. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. There's something in it that we have to do. Lent today, for all intents and purposes, is over. We entered into Lent. We started out with the ashes, you recall? Another symbol. And when the priest put the ashes upon our heads, we somehow had the mistaken idea that something magical was going to happen. My beloved people, the only thing magical that the ashes or the nails or the wood or whatever, the only thing magical that will be seen to happen is what has taken place within our own hearts. And we entered Lent at the beginning with the ashes, and we end it today more or less with the nails. Has anything transformed itself in us during these past few days? What has changed in us? I'm not speaking here in terms of, are we now willing to say more prayers? Are we now willing to genuflect more times? Are we now willing to say the rosary additional times every day? Not at all. I don't mean that at all. What kind of man or woman are you today as compared to the man or woman that you were 40 days ago? Only you and God know the answer to that question. I have a book in front of me, and I'm going to read half a dozen or so lines out of it. It's particularly applied to monks, but as you can see, this can be easily applied to everybody, which after all, it is for everybody. The only difference between a monk and a non-monk, or a nun and a non-nun, the only difference is that the monk and the nun have made a solemn promise to save their souls and to do the things that will bring them to save their souls. Is this any different from anything you have to do? So when the monk or the nun, let me change and back up a bit. When you commit a sin, whatever, you commit one sin. When the monk or the nun commits a sin, the same sin that you might have committed, they commit two sins. One, the sin itself, and one, the violation of their vow, a of their promise, which is a solemn, solemn promise. Now please notice, before we read, that even today, even our own good people, as you yourselves traveled to come to this occasion, you had to travel through the mess of the traffic and the push and the shove and the this and the buying and the selling and the trading and the lying and the deceiving and everything that goes with it. You had to walk right straight through it to come here. But yet, look how few there are who can walk away from it. Oh yes, we have certain cares we can't avoid. We understand that. But we also understand that not everybody is concerned. Did somebody die that your flag is half-mast? They don't even know. And they don't even care to know, do they? I read from the book. This deals with asceticism. Asceticism is the practices that are performed over and above by monks and nuns. The extra fasting, the extra prayers, the extra this, the extra that, so forth and so on and so on, which we're supposed to do. And there's no point in being praised for what you are supposed to do. At any rate, the various practices of monastic asceticism are more or less valuable to the monk or the nun, are valuable to the monk in proportion as they help him to accomplish the inner and spiritual work that needs to be done to make his soul poor and humble and empty in the mystery of the presence of God. When ascetic practices are misused, they serve only to fill the monk with himself and to harden his heart in resistance to grace. That is why all monastic asceticism centers in the two great virtues of humility and obedience, which cannot be practiced as they ought to be practiced if they do not empty a man of himself. You see how totally contrary this is to everything we run into outside, to empty a man of himself, to empty a man of himself. When everything we pick up, it's in the drinking water, it's in the air you breathe, it's in the tomatoes that you eat, it's everywhere, that I am the center of the universe. And let no man make a mistake about this. And that anything, no matter what you may take up to think of, and that anything you take up, even if it is Jesus Christ himself, that diminishes my own personal greatness, then I will say, away with him. let him be crucified. He is not one of ours. He's not me. Begone. Because he is a traitor to me. Obedience and humility today. Look at your own mannerisms, your own body language, your own body language, your simple, ordinary, everyday, on the street, in the house, at the table, in the bathroom, I don't care where, in the church even. Look at your own body language. And it is so easy to see that in my own body language, when I walk in, somebody important has just walked in. The way we walk, the way we sit, the way we talk, the way we eat, the way we do anything demonstrates that I am the center of the universe. Until I am able to empty myself. What does the word empty mean? What part of empty do we not understand? Until I am able to empty myself of me. Until I am able to strip away all these things that I clothe myself with, I am nothing. And to the degree that I am able to empty myself completely, totally, absolutely, consistently, without change, until I am able to do that, I am enslaved by my own pride and disobedience. And I am forced to move about because in my slavery, I have got to show big. I've got to show tall. I've got to show muscular. I've got to show power. I've got to show importance. I'm a slave to those things. And until I am able to empty myself of those things, will I be free? And to the degree that I am able to empty myself of those things and to bring in humility into myself and to consider myself a most unprofitable servant, to the degree that I am able to do that, to that degree, can I count myself to be great? In that little chapel right over there, we have numerous relics. Relics of men and women who once sat where you sit, who once walked where you walk, and who once prayed and lived as you do and I do. And these men and women were subjected to almighty power in most cases. Greatness of power and men and authority. These good men and women, most of them were subjected to. Isn't it something? They are still remembered. But may I ask, who were they who put them to death? I don't even know their names. You see how it works? To the degree that we are able to empty ourselves of the us, to that degree do we become important. Because then we are like unto Christ. It isn't a matter, as we today, some of us have got the idea, that, you know, you do certain things, you're automatically holy. May I use an ordinary word? Baloney. That's more baloney than I care to deal with on Good Friday. The important thing is, what has changed in me? To what degree do I reflect Him whom I have come here this afternoon to give homage to? Not to the nails, not to the wood, not to the statue, but to Him. And as we then move on to Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection, let us ask ourselves one very serious question, and I will quit. Because the answer to all of it, the answer to that question, is in all of it. When the priest puts a tiny piece of bread, so it seems, or a tiny piece of something, we'll say it that way first, in my mouth on Easter Sunday, what does he put in my mouth? Is it bread? Or is it something else? And is it my own personal faith that makes the difference? Let us not forget when they walked away, in his own action, he said, "Be gone." What we see lying on the floor right there is the book that we have to learn how to read. And until we do learn how to read that book, which is on that purple cloth, you will not understand one word that I have spoken this afternoon. My beloved people, you know our love for you. You know that we pray for you and we ask your prayers for us. One point I failed to mention at the beginning, and that is our Father Paul was not able to take his assignment today, and just before it started, we decided it'd be better if he didn't. We, we are still, all of us, fighting the bug. And he just couldn't, it was more than he could handle this afternoon. That's why he did not have a part in today's ceremony. So pray for us that Almighty God will always give us the strength to be tall, strong soldiers. God bless you and keep you.